Hello, Sean.
Hello, young Padawan.
How are you?
I am very good.
Well, that's great, because this summer at WrestleMania, you'll see your favorite star, John Cena, Oh, Sean, my good man. It's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been a while since I first saw you.
Now that we're famous from interviewing George Lucas.
Yeah, that was a... Dude, I didn't know how much sense he made. I know. My whole life, I thought he was just a crazy old man.
And you know what? Judging by this new preview that we're going to get to in a minute, he was right.
He was right.
He was 100% right.
I mean, I didn't like Red Tails when I first saw it, but...
No one did.
After his explanation as to why, and to why Jar Jar Binks is there... I am on Lucas train 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Blah Blah Blah. Blah, 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 blah. Whoa, let me try that again.
Let's rewind.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Blah Blah Podcast episode 14. We made it past 13, which is the most unlucky number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't know, in episode 13 we interviewed George Lucas.
So go check that out. Stop listening to this one. Go check.
Oh, I'll wait.
Go check out the other.
I'll
one.
Wait. I am Jason Green. With my podcasting partner in crime, Sean Smith, in all of his glory, and Kyle Downey.
Hey!
Oh man, it's been so long.
It's been a while for real.
You're like
episode 10.
That was only 4 episodes.
No, 8.
No, I was on episode 10.
Were you?
Yes.
You know our show better than us.
How?
Cameron was here for episode 10, wasn't he?
No, that was 8.
That was 8?
That was 8.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, we'll have to go to the archives later.
I was gonna say, because 10 was the video one.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh,
you weren't there.
Right,
yeah,
that's right. I remember. Yeah,
I remember that episode.
Well, then it's been even longer than I thought.
Yeah.
You're like a returning wrestler. You're like HBK.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn you.
Or Ric Flair, who keeps saying he's going to retire.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you remember when Kurt Angle used to do the woos?
Yes, I
do. And he had a woo off with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the one episode of Raw. Batista, like Flair was talking to Batista, and then as he's walking, and Flair did a woo. And Batista's woo was the worst I've ever...
Didn't he just go like, woo?
No, he was just like, ooh. It was like because his voice cracked.
He doesn't have that kind of voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to?
Nothing. I've gained about 8 pounds, got some gray hair, and I'm doing fine.
Hmm. Oh, so you're the perfect Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost.
Almost.
Almost. No, I'm in good. I'm looking forward to my semester ending in a couple weeks, 3 weeks or so, 2 or 3 weeks.
And in high school, right?
Yeah, yeah. It just keeps staying.
You just
back.
Got your first pube, I saw.
Yep. What? And it was gray, so it's weird.
Yeah.
But
well, you're just all sorts of fucked up.
Yeah, no, it's been an eventful life so far. But, you know, just chilling, playing some video games on the, you know, once in a while.
Good old PlayStation.
Any good games that you've been playing?
You know, well, PlayStation has their... PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing the Valiant Hearts game. That was free. That was excellent.
Hearts.
That was an excellent game. Playing Dragon's, what do you call it? Inquisition, obviously. So
oh, yeah.
Dragon's Age. Sorry.
Oh.
And well, what's his age?
I don't know.
And are they Spanish?
No, I don't think so.
What?
The Spanish Inquisition.
Spanish Inquisition. Oh. it took me a second to even realize what the hell you're talking about there. No, I've been playing that. I have evolved, but I haven't really digged into that.
You've evolved?
I have evolved.
Oh, man. Maybe that's why you're getting gray hairs before anything else.
True.
Evolution's a mystery.
No. All the change and no one sees. That makes a fool of history.
One game that I know you haven't been playing is Mortal Kombat X.
I haven't. No.
Which just came out.
Is it anything like Mortal Kombat Triple X?
It's a little bit
with
like
Vin
Mortal
Diesel
Kombat
and Ice Cube?
Mortal Kombat 1X. Or IX, I should say.
Are you enjoying it? Is that the...
I am enjoying it. I'm obviously, it just came out a couple days ago, so I haven't been able to touch it too much.
Yeah.
Unlike myself. But...
I'm sure you touch yourself more than anything, so...
More
tools. Of course.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's... so far, what I've seen is good. Unfortunately, a lot of the DLCs that people have been clamoring for are not coming out immediately.
Like
you kind of have to
Jason
wait for
Voorhees and Freddy Krueger.
Oh, I'm gonna play the shit out of Jason Voorhees. What's that?
Isn't the Predator in it?
The Predator is going to be
so,
in it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes.
I wonder what his finisher will be.
Probably a pile driver.
No, he like Schwarzenegger comes out.
I don't know.
Schwarzenegger comes out
maybe
of nowhere.
He'll blow himself up.
Yeah.
And then he'll kill everybody on the screen.
I mean, everyone has a great fatality. I'm sure they're going to have some
no,
good
he,
stuff.
No, he does the whole thing where he sets his detonator, and then whoever your opponent in just has Schwarzenegger's voice goes, "You're one ugly motherfucker."
I'm sure someone's going to say that when they meet each other at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to say it.
I'm glad they're adding a lot of content to that game.
Yeah,
and it seems like they actually are taking this one pretty seriously.
Now, Sean, who would you like to see added out of like, the movie
there's,
realm?
There's a rumor that Spawn might be in it.
Oh, okay.
Which I would love to see because then, you know, he would be my next favorite person to fight with.
I thought it would be Steven Spielberg.
No.
He just...
fight with, not against.
Yeah, no, but I think you would just love to be him.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
He comes out on a war horse.
You have a man crush.
Throws dinosaurs at people.
I can make movies about World War II.
There you go. E.T., he comes out on a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's
God,
just
God, he would be a great
fatality.
Character.
Dude, I mean, yeah. I mean, he's done so many things. Indiana Jones, I mean...
But anyway, yeah, I love... Mortal Kombat so far has been pretty good. I'm undefeated with Goro. So that's good.
That
have you played online?
Or? Oh
yeah, I have not played online.
You'll get your ass kicked.
I'm sure I will. Yeah. I'm not that good at the. I'm to be honest with you, I'm not that good. But I normally play my little brother who also plays the game.
Yeah.
Whip his ass with Goro all
hell
the time.
Hell yeah!
So you make him cry, make yourself feel better.
Now you've played Injustice, Gods Among Us, right? The DC fighting game.
I didn't play it that much.
I'm just wondering if they're similar because I know they're made by the same people.
They are very similar. Yes.
Yeah, I've read that they're supposed to be very similar. Like a lot of people that made this Mortal Kombat game based a lot of things off of that game. So the DC.
Yeah, I mean it's the same people who made both games. So
I really liked Injustice. Yeah. I think some characters are a little more imbalanced.
Well, they have some new characters in this one too, which are interesting.
That's hard for a fighting game sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Fighting games are hard.
They're hard.
Yeah,
in,
they're not my.
In, in like different types of things, they're hard because some fighting games are way more technical.
Mm-hmm.
Like you really have to know.
Oh, you should see some of the combos
move,
in this new one.
Yeah, your moves and
stuff.
Yeah,
like well, technical ones I'd say are like Tekken, maybe. I mean,
like
Street Fighter. Yeah,
Street Fighter is like the ultimate fighting game.
I believe there's one combo that Scorpion has where it's literally 7 buttons in a row.
Yeah,
I'm like, how do you press that in a second? Like in the middle of a fight.
I mean, my only experience with fighting games are really Injustice. Injustice was free on PS Plus, but yeah. I also love the DC universe, so that's a win-win. But I remember in my PS3 days, I played a lot of I played Soul Calibur, and that was easy for me. That was more button mashing. Like you can get by button mashing, but with Street Fighter, you cannot get by with button mashing.
Nah, if you're taking a pro, you're not gonna.
If you're playing Mortal Kombat, button mashing is not gonna help you.
No, yeah. Mortal Kombat, there is very good people out there that will kick your butt if you button mash. Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah. There's our hardcore fans out there. Yeah.
I will say though, my brother he pre-ordered the game. He went to GameStop at midnight to get it, even though they did it earlier than midnight. They had a little tournament over at GameStop with everyone who was picking up the game, and he won. He won
anything, or
but you can beat him.
Well, with Goro, but yeah, he won a $25 gift card for GameStop.
He probably really beat those people up.
Maybe I don't know, but yeah. So Mortal Kombat, go check it out.
Yeah,
I will eventually. Yeah,
dude, there's a lot here in my rundown, man.
All right, let's get
a doozy. I want you to call this episode
Saul,
Better Call Saul, yeah.
or a doozy,
a doozy.
But let's address the elephant in the room. Oh no, okay.
That could have went better.
Let's address the elephant in the room: the new Star Wars Force Awakens trailer.
That's an elephant.
Well, it's more of a tauntaun. Is that what those things are called?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! I fucking love Star Wars! Fucking Star Wars! Finally! Finally, it's here! It's... That's Star Wars! Yeah! Star Wars!
Okay, anyway, yeah, the new Star Wars trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go around the room. Sean, what did you think?
It looked good. It didn't give away too much from the movie, which is always a plus when it comes to trailers. A lot of practical effects, which made me happy. And even the CG stuff that was in there was not incredibly detectable. Overall, it was just a really good, well-made, put-together, teaser trailer for the movie. And of course, you know, they had to show someone because you can't keep showing the Boyega or whatever his name is, and Daisy, whatever
Ridley.
Whatever her name is. You can't keep showing them every 5 seconds. So it's good that they showed someone from the original, even though it was just Han Solo and Chewie.
Looking old.
No, Chewie looked fine.
Yeah, he looks. He hasn't aged.
He's aged well.
He's aged. He must be dying that fur.
He's got to be on a good diet too.
Or something. I don't. He keeps himself in really good shape.
Yeah.
But I think it was good to show something, but not too much. If you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Well.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Well, I don't know. Sean pretty much nailed it on the head. I just. I got.
All
that.
Right. We're done.
Yeah. No.
Good night, everybody.
I think it had that nice classic kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
That especially the very first scene with the desert. And kind of brings me back to the original Star Wars movies.
Apparently, that isn't Tatooine. That's a new planet called Jakku, from what I was reading.
Jakku?
Mm-hmm. J-A-K-K.
Sounds like a crappy board game.
Yeah, no, apparently Daisy Ridley's character, Ren. No, Ren's the bad guy. Rey. Her name's Rey.
And I ran. I ran
Yeah, but she's a scavenger. So she's obviously picking apart those ships that you see laying there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what were you saying?
No, I'm just saying, but that was essentially what I really liked about it, was that it gave that classic feel of the original movies. At the same time, obviously, the addition of Harrison Ford was really neat.
Sure.
They had to do something.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Well, at the same time, not giving away too much of the story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it leaves you to wonder, we still know nothing about the movie. What is this movie going to be like?
Yeah, we still know nothing about it.
You know,
yeah.
We got a half a year to go, a little more, mm-hmm. right? So...
And then after that, there's going to be a new Star Wars movie every year until infinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Next,
I know.
Next
year is a good thing or a bad thing.
Next year is Rogue One, which is the spinoff. 2017 is Episode 8, and then another spinoff, then 9, then probably another spinoff, and then probably 10.
I'm more concerned with the spinoffs than I am the episodes.
You know why I'm concerned about the spinoff? Because
Gareth Edwards.
No, Gary Whitta. Is right. Gary. I'll give you some context. Gary Whitta is a writer in Hollywood. He did The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington. He did episode 4 of the Telltale Walking Dead game. Great game, but episode 4 was the worst one. I mean, it was still good, but it wasn't as...
Has
it
he
was
done
the
anything
weakest.
Else in, other than that?
Get this. He wrote, co-wrote After Earth. So,
oh, no.
And he wrote the newest Star Wars spinoff that's coming out next year.
Oh no!
So it maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be awful.
Oh God, Gareth Edwards is fucked.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
God.
Gareth Edwards, he's a good director. I mean, I thought Monsters was all right. I thought the newest Godzilla was all right, but I mean, he the products he makes look great. So the new Star Wars spinoff for next year, Rogue One, could probably look great. But,
yeah.
I mean, all due respect to Gary Whitta, I'm sure he's a fine guy. But I just do not agree with his writing. Respectfully, disagree.
I guess his track record proves himself.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the guy Greg Miller from IGN. He has his own talk show on YouTube, and Whitta was a guest on there a few months ago, and he talked about writing Book of Eli. But that was pretty much what he talked about, how he became a writer, you know, all stuff. But then when he talked about writing Book of Eli, that was his original story. And I saw that movie when it came out, and it was just, I don't know, I found it
it's
so boring.
It's not a good movie.
I found it boring. It wasn't terrible, but I just found it boring. But then I Wikipedia'd Whitta, and
well,
saw...
Well, say that again.
I Wikipedia'd Gary Whitta, and I saw one of his credits was writing After Earth, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. He failed to mention that on Greg Miller's show, but I mean, I wouldn't mention it either.
No, I wouldn't.
But like I said, I'm sure he's a fine guy. I just respectfully disagree with his work. And I mean, he could turn it around. The next, I mean, he could prove everyone wrong, and the next Star Wars movie next year could be amazing. I don't know. But judging by his past projects, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, at least with the other movies, with the actual episodes, we got Rian Johnson behind there, so.
Yeah.
And Looper, he's man. Writing, too, so.
Yeah, I loved Looper.
You know, that's good. That's good to know, but it's more of these spinoffs that I'm concerned with.
Yeah, but.
It's a shame. Rian Johnson, he's busy with Star Wars, can't direct a Better Call Saul episode.
Wait, he was slated for that?
Well, he directed a bunch of Breaking Bad episodes.
Oh.
So. They're on the Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul podcast, actually, they were like, hey, Ryan, come back. We want to see you again. You know?
No, but from my opinion, with the new Star Wars trailer, the first one, to me, it's like the first teaser trailer that came out a few months ago was just like teeny droplets.
What's the teaser trailer?
I know, it was like teeny droplets of water on your forehead. Mm-hmm. Now they're kind of pouring the glass over a little more, so you get even more droplets. It's still a teaser. Obviously, we don't know what's going on, but it's all quick shots again, like trailers all are nowadays. But there's more, and it still looks great. Like, it looks like classic Star Wars. It looks It has a nice new sheen on it, but at the same time, it's familiar. So you have that nostalgia factor, but it has like the X-Wings and the Stormtroopers still look, they're touched up. So it also feels new, now, unlike the prequels, which feel like completely different movies. Course.
Now, what's up with them releasing it early? Because it wasn't supposed to come out with the Avengers.
Oh, you mean the trailer? I thought you meant the movie.
No.
What?
Yeah. That's what I originally heard, that it was going to be with the Avengers, but obviously that's a week and a half, 2 weeks away.
I don't know, man. I think someone was probably just going to leak it, and they're like,
"Well,
oh,
did you see that there was a leak of poster art for the new movie with a bunch of villain characters from the movie?"
Oh, I saw a few stills. I don't know which one of them you're talking about.
And literally that same day, maybe even later in the day. Maybe even the next day, then the trailer comes out. So I'm kind of thinking maybe they kind of pushed it out a little early because that stuff came out. Because the big thing in the trailer was going to be showing the villain, his mask and everything. And I think that maybe that had something to do with it, which is also, consequently, another trailer we're going to get into, which kind of did the same thing, too.
Yeah, but
what do you think of the villain while we're
I think he looks awesome. His name is Kylo Ren. He looks like the villain from a video game, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. He actually looks. I doubt it's the same villain, but I'm pretty sure it seems like he's heavily inspired by that video game character. But I'm saying, maybe at the end of the movie, man, they'll take his mask off and it will be Jar Jar Binks, leading to the biggest troll in human history.
George had his way; it would be.
But I think he looks awesome. There's a lot of speculation as to who he is. Some people think that he's Han Solo's son because in the expanded universe, you know, those books that came out all over the '90s and everything. I think it's like the Yuuzhan Vong invasion when this giant alien race invades the galaxy. I think it's around that time. I'm probably wrong, but Han Solo's son, Jason Solo, turns evil. And so this probably could be like their canon way of doing that.
I think they're trying to get away from those as much as possible, to be honest with you.
No, I did read online that they're taking some inspiration from the expanded universe. It could be his son. I still want to know who
it is. Adam Driver, right?
Yeah, and then Adam Driver's the bad guy, and Oscar Isaac, a.k.a. Apocalypse, is that X-Wing pilot.
I still can't get over that casting, but yeah.
But that still begs the question who, like, Daisy Ridley and
who are these
John Boyega. John Boyega seems like...
Clearly he's the son of Luke Skywalker.
He seems like a stormtrooper who's like, oh, jeez, why the hell am I doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
like the thing that everyone's been wondering, like, why don't these stormtroopers actually think for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, there were...
That is interesting, but I'm sure there's an explanation.
I mean, he'll be the explanation guy, but maybe Daisy Ridley's character is, like, one of their, like, Han Solo's Luke or Luke's daughter. I don't know.
That's what I've been hearing, Luke's daughter.
Yeah.
That's...
It's pretty hot.
Because apparently this whole story's built off of finding a lightsaber, which seems simple enough, but, you know, it's like... And they even show it in the trailer, the lightsaber that the guys or someone's holding, which I think is Daisy.
She definitely seems like the focus. And it seems like it's coming full circle because Luke lived on a desert planet in poverty. This girl is a scavenger on another desert planet, obviously in poverty. Mm. So it's like poetry. It rhymes.
Or just redoing the same thing.
But this time better than the prequels.
All right.
Let's swoop on over to the good old Batman versus Superman trailer.
Yes. Well, first that leaked.
Hold on. I'm gonna sum it up for you guys. Boom.
Superman bad.
Batman.
Well, Batman. Now, we're not sure.
Robot. It leaked yesterday, right?
It did. Yeah.
And then they officially released it.
Now it was supposed to
be Monday.
It was supposed to come out on Monday. They had a 20-second little IMAX thing earlier in the week.
Right.
And they were going to release the whole thing on Monday. Now, they had the leak from the cell phone camera of the actual trailer itself, so they kind of had to push it out, which I guess seems like the norm
nowadays.
Now,
wait a second. Did you say the 20-second trailer tease was in IMAX?
Yes.
It was just their logos.
Well, no, it was more than that. It was actually they showed Superman's costume just sitting there. They showed Batman's costume just standing there.
Yeah.
And then logos.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's so cool. That was in IMAX?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It was just a little thing to get people to go to the theater.
Well, yeah. Well, regardless, it got leaked, and then now we have...
So now we have the full HD version of the trailer.
Yep.
Yeah. It's very dark.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold my opinions, because I thought Man of Steel was just okay.
Garbage.
Man of Steel was just okay. It was a C.
I'm just going to keep my expectations, like I said, low. Yeah. So...
And... I mean,
which I don't want to.
But. Like I was saying to you guys earlier, like, I want, like, Batman should be the dark, brooding character, like Christopher Nolan movies. Superman should be upbeat, happy. I mean, he literally basks in the sunlight. Like,
he should be dancing down the street.
Yes.
No one can see that.
I know. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, Superman, like, he's an ideal, you know what I mean? He's someone, like, people look up to, literally, people look up to and be like, hey, man, I need help, blah, 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 blah. He's, like, you know, very, in comic-wise, he's a very good person. He literally basks in the sunlight because, you know, that's
his
power.
He's the golden boy.
Yeah, he's the golden boy. He's the Boy Scout.
He's John Cena.
He's a good, yeah, he's John Cena. He's a Captain America. He's a well-rounded good guy.
In this movie.
And, but he's, like, but in Man of Steel, and it seems like in this movie, he's just, like,
hate
also
him.
Dark and brooding.
Yeah, I don't know how much of, like, he's dark and brooding, but... Definitely the people around him.
I mean,
hate
him.
Like,
you can
understand.
See
people like go home.
Well,
go
but
home.
They also they went that dark and brooding route in Man of Steel though too.
That's what I'm saying. That's
yeah,
because
they didn't
with.
Know who he was, and he kind of brought along this.
But even
war.
even when they did, you know, they still were treating them that way.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I can kind of understand like why they don't like him. Why half people do like him, half people don't.
I wouldn't like someone.
Look
who
what he did
my
to
city.
Metropolis at the end of the movie.
Fucking leveled it.
Yeah, it was like an atomic bomb went off.
Yeah.
And obviously that's why people hate him because. Look what he can do,
yeah.
And what they can we can't do.
Which is
do.
So funny because they're literally building a movie off of a criticism that they had from the last movie.
Yeah, you know, if they never did that, like how do you think this movie would be? Like if Man of Steel exceeded expectations, didn't have the if they had a climactic fight at the end, but in the middle of the desert, they didn't kill anyone, and Superman
could,
really did.
No,
save
I can tell you what would happen. They would have another Superman movie,
just plain old
just
Superman.
Just plain Superman, and then they'd reboot Batman.
That's,
but they wouldn't be together.
Yeah, that's pretty
they
much
have it. To bring them and together because otherwise no one cares.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say no one cares, but it's bringing them together is going to do more for them than having them separate.
Yeah, that's my sentiments exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure, like you were saying, they would just go the Marvel route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
have the respective
yeah.
movies, and then but you know they're going to cross over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as for the trailer itself, like, you know, it's just another
teaser, kind
teaser
of.
With
yeah.
quick
yeah.
shots.
Yeah.
I mean, you see Ben Affleck looks like a good Batman.
I guess. I mean, we haven't. There's not that much of him in there, but you know, he's in his little iron suit.
Yeah, he's basically
talking
Iron
like
Man.
Iron Man.
His white light, eyes bright.
Now that's cool because
I mean,
that's
fun.
Yeah, that's
you
definitely
know, but
really cool.
That's indicative of the animated series.
I just don't understand why he's talking there and he sounds like a robot. His mouth is not covered. He's just standing there with his mouth opening, talking like a robot.
I mean, maybe
did he send a robot to go
it's
fight?
It's probably
Superman?
Maybe it's a scene where. He's not talking in that scene, but he's talking in another scene, and I don't know. I just...
Well, then they're lying to us.
Well, they always lie, don't they?
Now, wasn't like the head writer of Argo the writer of this movie or something?
Yes.
So that could be good.
It could be, but also I think, didn't Ben Affleck work on it a little bit too?
He wrote Argo
because I believe...
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the Batman movie.
Oh, he might.
I thought that was part of the deal.
He might have, yeah.
Because he had a little input, and then it was the Argo guy. I think his name is like Chris... something
Pine
no I,
Tucker
it him and David S. Goyer were supposed to collaborate
well, anything with Goyer is
I think it, or at least Goyer has a story input
how
somehow.
The hell does Goyer like get these jobs I mean
Warner Brothers
Argo was
I gotta see that movie
really good
the
I
guy
really
won
it.
This best screenplay for Argo
yeah so there's high hopes
I mean yeah if there's in the if he's in this movie I don't know. Like Jay Bauman said on Twitter before, the guy from Red Letter Media, he was like, "Man, Batman versus Superman looks like a nightmare."
Yeah.
I mean, it's all. I mean, it could be a nightmare movie standpoint, but like, it like looks like someone's nightmare because it's scary.
Maybe do a
looking.
Crossover.
It's dark as hell.
Do a crossover with Freddy Krueger. They need to reboot that franchise.
Yeah. What did you think of that 2009?
It's awful.
Okay. I didn't see it, so...
The
2009 Friday the 13th was good.
I didn't like that either.
Especially when the guy was like, oh, your tits are stupendous.
You just liked it because his tits were stupendous.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why you liked it. Any Easter eggs that we found in the trailer at all?
Well, I just saw what was said online, not that I pointed out, like the Riddler mentioning and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, like, who's the muscle villain going to be? Unless Lex Luthor gets in a suit.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. Have The Rock come in and... Do something.
Sign him in the movie.
Have him be The Rock. Like, have him be himself.
Hercules. He's The Rock. Jason, what did the guy in Fast and Furious say about The Rock?
Oh, when I saw Fast and Furious the other, ladies and gentlemen, when I saw Fast 7 the other week, and The Rock is in only in the beginning and only in the end, because like you said, Sean, he was probably filming Hercules.
He was.
And at the very end, when he makes his grand entrance coming back, to he saves the day, blows up a helicopter, And the other character who doesn't know him in the film is like, who was that? And someone in the audience was like, that's the fucking Rock.
Know his name.
Know your role.
And he just walks away like a bat. And then he takes a Gatling gun and just shoots down another helicopter.
He's a beast.
Yeah. And anyone, if I could buy anyone doing it, it's the Rock.
Yeah, that's why exactly. The Rock should be Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be Black Adam, right?
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
So...
I mean, in like 7 years.
Well, everyone thought at first he was going to be Shazam. Then they were like, no, he's Black Adam.
He could be either or, to be honest.
He could be, but I think he wants to be a bad guy.
And then when Shazam turns into Billy Batson, it should just be a little kid with the Rock's head on
it's
him.
It's going to be so awkward because I like Shazam, but for a movie, I think it's going to be like
Well,
weird.
They better not do the whole dark and brooding thing because Shazam has got the heart of a kid.
Yeah, he was made. I mean, all his comics back then were kiddish.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure his mother is going to be beaten as a...
They need to really make it.
It's going to be like Rorschach when his mother was a whore.
They really have to make Shazam good because
I love
Shazam has not been relevant for like 50 years.
The only thing that makes him relevant has kept him in people's minds is like his role on Young Justice, which was awesome. He was like their caretaker.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the show only lasted two seasons.
No,
so.
But in the New 52 Justice League, they would have his story at the end of each issue. Like they'd have like 17 pages of the Justice League, what's going on in the issue, and then the last five or so pages would be what Shazam's doing off-screen, like, elsewhere. And it would be when Billy Batson first gets his Shazam powers.
Yeah.
And that was handled really well. It was, like, it was dark, but at the same time, it still had, like, a kiddish tone, like, a lighthearted tone to
and
it.
He had that episode in Justice League Unlimited where he fought Superman.
Yeah.
So...
And,
Which was, I like that episode a lot.
And a lot of people, like, I remember seeing some people on Reddit, it's like, oh, yeah, people complain about Man of Steel, you know, Superman blowing up shit in Man of Steel, but then they point to that episode. But what they don't know is in that episode where he fights Shazam, that is a model city.
Yeah, it's a modeled city.
It's not an inhabited city like in Man of Steel.
No.
And that animated episode where Superman fights Shazam, that is a model city Luthor made.
Yeah.
Like, people have model homes.
See, people don't do their research. Yeah. They don't watch the whole episode. They just jump to conclusions.
So that, I mean, if Luthor was doing that in Man of Steel... And they fought, and him and Zod fought there. I'd be like, okay, cool. Yeah. That's when you know no one's there.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like Shazam a lot. I like playing him in Injustice too.
I just like saying but, Shazam.
I like the fact that he was actually more popular than Superman during the 1950s. Oh, yeah. Like that's a fact.
Well, yeah, when Is he was it? Captain Marvel. Yeah,
He was Captain Marvel. He was actually he sold more
Until
than
Marvel
Superman did.
Gave him a copyright notice.
Yeah, and then Captain Marvel is now in Marvel, but obviously completed.
Mrs. Marvel, right?
And that, yeah, well, Miss Marvel became Captain Marvel. And Shazam,
so confusing.
Shazam he's got the powers of five Greek gods, or six or whatever, I can't count. But it's like Solomon, Hercules, Ares, Zeus,
Kazam,
Shaq, and
Mercury.
Mercury's
at the end. Man, what's the other M? Apollo.
Or yeah, the other A is Apollo.
Carl Weathers.
So he has really the intelligence, wisdom, because it's also based off, I believe, like. Egyptian stuff too at the same time
know.
Like they kind of mix
he
up.
Should be the next bad guy in the next God of War.
Yeah, I mean his origins are really confusing because he was like Black Adam was the first Shazam and he went evil, so when time came this guy made this kid who was got a good heart Shazam, and by that time Black Adam came back to Earth from his 5,000 year exile in space. And then Shazam sends him back into space for 10,000 years. So you know he's gonna come back. It's just a little bit longer.
And that's the thing, like, when like, as far as I know, when Shazam first came out, like, years ago, Billy Batson was just, like, you know, a happy-go-lucky kid with a good heart, but then when they reboot it in the New 52, he's, of course, the stereotypical bad kid, you know,
sense.
But if he has a heart of gold...
So he's just a bad kid.
Well, there you go. There's your dark story there.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. They're definitely going to do that for the movie. He's a troublemaker kid, but he has a heart of gold, and then finds a wizard who gives him superpowers. You know, typical.
Kazam.
Yeah.
That just happens.
That would be Shaq's cameo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we got off on Shazam. He's a good character.
He's awesome.
Batman Superman.
Rob Lowe voiced him in Young Justice.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh.
And that's who should play
Shazam. I wouldn't complain. I don't know.
All right, let's shoot on over to the new James Bond trailer for Spectre.
Spectre. Or as I call it, the skiing instructor.
Mm-hmm. The movie.
The movie.
I really don't have much to say about it.
Well, another teaser.
It's a teaser. I mean, if they cut out the end of it where there's just James Bond music,
mm-hmm.
and if you didn't know Daniel Craig was James Bond, maybe you'd be like, what what is this?
I guess.
No, I'm saying if you really are kept in a closet and you really don't know anything about James Bond.
Well, maybe you should come out of the closet.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
I knew as soon as I said closet. I was like, here we go. You know, Judi Dench is going to be in it, obviously, right?
So, No, she died in Skyfall.
Oh,
that's right, she died.
Spoiler.
Wait, wasn't her voice? No, whose voice was that then?
That's what I'm getting to. Like, I like how they're tying Spectre into the Skyfall, Quantum, and Casino Royale, because the guy that Daniel Craig talks to in this is Mr. White. Mr. White was the leader of Quantum in Quantum
Solace.
You're
Mr. Pink.
Mr. Brown.
I'm gonna deflate you. Mr. White was in, he wasn't in Skyfall, as far as my knowledge.
No.
But he was in Quantum. He's like one of the heads of Quantum, and he was in, he's the guy Bond shoots at the end of Casino Royale. So everything's tying together.
Well, it should. Like, yeah, that'd be great.
And I don't know, is this Craig's last Bond movie?
Could be.
You mean like contract-wise?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
So it could be. I don't know.
Even
when he has movies left on his deal, they still talk about a new one.
Oh, yeah.
Because he could go at any time.
I mean, it looks good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I'm sure it's, I mean, as long as the script is fine, which there's rumblings about that.
Well, like what?
Just that it's a mess. I mean, they were doing rewrites while they were still shooting. But, you know, we'll see. I'm looking more forward to that than I am Batman, Superman.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I want to say yes. That's because I'm just scared for Batman. So, but
Fair enough.
I don't know. The James Bond movies, I like all the Daniel Craig ones. Even Quantum, even though it's not the best one.
No, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
They all have great opening theme songs.
Oh, yeah. There's the theme songs on all
those
movies.
Who do you think should do this one?
Well, it's going to be Adele.
Is it?
Yeah. She's already said she's doing...
Oh, they're doing her
Spectre
again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't like that.
Have they ever done
back-to-back?
I mean,
I don't mind her.
I don't know back-to-back, but I know... I think it was Madonna or someone.
No.
There was another singer who sung multiple Bond songs.
It wasn't Paul, right?
No. I know who you're talking about. I don't remember her name. She did Goldfinger.
Yeah.
And another...
Goldfinger.
I'm pretty sure...
I remember reading that Adele said she was doing...
I mean, I'm not against it, but I do... If you could
choose anyone, who would it be?
The Rock.
No.
To do the song?
Yeah, he sings.
Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Keep rolling.
I don't see why not.
You got to get some band that hasn't been around. Oh, Creed.
Creed.
Oh, God. Nickelback.
I wouldn't see it because of that.
How about Daft Punk?
Oh, no.
Yeah. There would be no scene in it.
It would be like, wow, 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 wow.
Vacuum cleaner.
Or dubstep.
I don't know. That'd be interesting. I mean, Adele has an awesome voice, and she's got that James Bond kind of like smoky, jazzy kind
of
vibe.
Is she's coming off of Skyfall, though.
That's the song's just going to be Let the Spectre.
Yeah, it's going to be exactly the same thing. Well, what was the last one before that was
Quantum.
Quantum was Chris Cornell.
No, that was
Chris Cornell
Casino Royale, and then it was
Jack White.
Oh, Jack White, right.
And then it was...
It was two people, right? Wasn't Alicia Keys
and Jack White?
Okay,
yeah.
Let's stop talking about trailers and start talking about movies. Now, Sean, I have three movies here that I've seen recently. They are Birdman, Whiplash, and It Follows.
Mm.
We saw Birdman, but Kyle didn't.
Yeah, I did. I saw it with you. You keep forgetting.
I meant to say Whiplash.
Yeah.
We saw Whiplash, but Kyle didn't.
No.
We can all talk about Birdman because we saw that.
Yeah.
Unless you didn't.
No, I wasn't out here. It was just a clone of me.
And
I
then
left him at
home. Cardboard cut out.
Yeah. And then Kyle and I, we saw It Follows, but Sean, you didn't.
No.
Now, since we all saw Birdman, let's talk about that. I fucking loved that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've said it. No. If you want to hear my thoughts about Birdman, go back to episode 8.
Because he gave like a full detailed Oscar account about it. But I thought it was awesome. So, I mean, it was a while ago, so I can't remember everything. But,
Let's refresh your memory.
Let's talk about the whole entire movie.
Spoilers. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a movie like it, you know, yet, at least. I mean, I am so old in my 25 long years of life.
But
I don't think I've ever seen a movie like that. Like, you know, all one take.
You think Keaton was really upset that he didn't get the best actor?
No, I think he's
okay.
Because
I heard the rumors that he was pulling out his
Well, no, he was... No, trust me. He was doing that just so that he didn't, like, take too long when he got up there
like,
and fiddling around.
Nervous.
Trust me. He seems like a decent guy. He's not going to.
He's a comedian, too. So he's.
Yeah. He's fine.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure he kind of, like, deep in their mind, those guys' minds.
Well, there's always a chance.
They're like, okay.
If
this
Adrian
is the
Brody
year.
Can win, then anyone.
And Cuba Gooding Jr.
Nicolas Cage can win. So.
Yeah. Well, everyone knew he was going to win that year.
Yeah.
I'm going more for, like, an upset. But, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
No, but I
because look at him
I can't. Yeah, well. I can't say as much, like, many more good things about Birdman. Like, it was phenomenal, and I mean, you know, it was so. Is I mean, I don't want to spoil this, but you know how ambiguous the ending was, which was awesome. That, you know, such a good discussion, and his visions and stuff like that. What was going on in his head? But my friend Tim, good old Tim, said something that I didn't notice.
Is this going to be negative?
No.
Okay.
He said something about when Keaton sees Birdman throughout the whole movie. It's always like an emotional response, which I never noticed until Tim pointed that out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like at the end of the movie, when he does, I don't want to spoil it, but
when
he does something at the end of the movie, it's like indicative to how he feels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh, that doesn't make sense. And, or maybe he really was a superhero and no one saw it.
Yeah. But it's definitely recommended for people out there that have not seen it.
I'm pretty sure it's out on Blu-ray now, right?
Absolutely. I bought it 3 times.
What?
I bought 3 copies.
Would you go back?
Did you really buy 3 copies?
No.
Oh, I mean, you would.
I burned through the first two.
I just watched them so much.
I gotta watch it again.
It's on a 24-hour loop at my house.
I'm currently watching it right now.
It plays 12 times a day.
Now, let's talk about Whiplash.
All right, I will disappear.
I'm just kidding. Where'd Kyle go? Now, Kyle, Whiplash is a movie about Miles Teller. Is a music student. His name's Andrew Meir.
Oh, it's about drumming, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know what it's about. Yeah,
it's
similar.
His name was like Andrew Meiner or Minor or something like that in the movie.
I don't know.
I'm just going to call him Miles Teller. I'm terrible with character names, except for J.K. Simmons. Well, Miles Teller is a music student who loves the drums, really wants to be the world's greatest drummer, and they keep mentioning like he wants to be like, I don't remember the drummer's name, but a real-life drummer who's really good in real life. Miles Teller's like, I want to be like that guy. He goes to this, he's in this music school in New York City, and the hard-ass music teacher is Mr. Fletcher, who's played by J.K. Simmons. He uses the best J. Jonah Jameson ever in Spider-Man. And
he's like a boot camp instructor.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly. He is
for
he,
drums?
No for he is
he
the,
he's like Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
He's a hard-ass.
He berates them. He's the orchestra constructor there.
Okay.
And you know Miles Teller is on the drums of the orchestra. And
it's a prestigious orchestra.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's him fucking with them the entire movie.
Yeah, and now that's what I want to get into. I mean, do you mind if I talk about like the ending and stuff like that?
No, I don't care. I mean, I'm gonna probably see it eventually. But...
Okay, like in the beginning, like obviously Mr. Fletcher, J.K. Simmons comes off as friendly, and then when Miles Teller starts,
I would
drumming,
say comes off friendly, but there is one moment where you're thinking, oh, maybe he might be okay.
That, now I want to just preface it here saying that I fucking love this movie. It had me on the edge of my seat. But there were some questionable choices about...
You need a bigger seat.
What?
See, what's that?
I need a bigger seat? Well, I'm a short guy. It was some of my, like, questions of, like, why... Like, about J.K. Simmons' motivation in the movie. Like...
Well, he says what his motivations are.
Well, no, like, at the end, when he finds out what Andrew did to him,
mm-hmm.
and then he just fucks them mm-hmm. in the middle of that big theater...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just can't wrap my head around that.
What about? Like, why would he do that?
Yeah, but then when Andrew or Miles Teller actually starts playing the drums mm-hmm. in his face, and you can see J.K. Simmons getting visibly angry again because he goes up to him. He's like, I'm going to gouge your eyes out.
Yeah.
That's a line. No, but then it looks like he's getting into it. So it's like...
Because he's realizing, oh, he's become this, what I've been seeking after all these years.
There was just
years.
So much flip-flopping between J.K. Simmons and Teller's
I thought you loved this movie.
That's what I just told you I did, but I still told you I had some questions about it.
Mm.
There was so much flip-flopping between Simmons and Miles Teller's relationship in the movie, I couldn't tell who to root for. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, that might be a Miles Teller problem, but...
I mean, because he came off as like a big dick
yeah.
at some parts, but then there's parts where J.K. Simmons seemed like a genuine music teacher who was, yes, he was a hard ass, but he had a heart of gold. And then there's parts where like, wow, this guy is a motherfucking asshole.
I'd say there's like, more of those kind of parts.
Maybe he's like bipolar.
Yeah, that's a good point. But like, there's a part where like, you know, I'm saying at the end where he invites Miles Teller up to this big prestigious orchestra, or this big prestigious show, and he's like, you can play drums for me. And Miles Teller's like, all right, sure, yeah, definitely. And then he fucks him over on stage, embarrasses him in front of everyone. And then Miles Teller is walking off, and he's just like, you know what, I'm going to go play drums.
He comes back, then he takes over the whole show.
Yeah, and he play drums like a madman. He's going insane. Yeah. And then you could see J.K. Simmons is getting, like, upset.
But because he knows that he's fucking with him then, and then he realizes, oh, you know, he's starting to gain some respect for him because he came back and did this.
Yeah, I guess because there's the one part where Simmons says to Teller, he mentions that one really popular drum teacher, one really popular drum player who had a cymbal thrown at his head and became really good because he never wanted to do that again. What Simmons does to Teller at the end of the movie, I guess, is like the proverbial cymbal.
No, because he threw a chair at him.
I'm talking about the end of the movie when it looks like when he embarrasses him on stage.
I think you're reading a little too much.
He comes back. That's like the cymbal being thrown at his head pretty much because he never wants to be embarrassed again.
No, but he did that as punishment for what he did to J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, I realize that. But
I think you're looking way too far into this whole symbol thing.
Maybe. Well, what'd you think?
And Kyle's just over here like, oh my god,
I'll have to see it to judge my own way. No, but I've seen, I don't know if it was a trailer or just a commercial, but it looked really interesting, so I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I would
it.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's weird. The name definitely does not reflect what I would think the movie would be about.
No,
I thought it was about car crashes, are car crashes.
Or the Marvel villain.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, there's the one scene where Miles Teller gets, like, fucking wrecked in a car crash, and he just gets up. He's a champ.
Lucky man.
I mean, he is Mr. Fantastic.
No, he was wearing a seatbelt.
I am.
Hey, well, wait. Wear your seatbelt.
I'm, like, going on a tangent on, like, what I thought of this movie stuff. What did you think of it?
Haven't I talked about it already?
I don't remember.
I thought I did. But, no, I liked it. The only thing I didn't like about it was anytime the Miles Teller character and the chick, I don't even remember her name, was on screen, all those interactions were unpleasant. I didn't really care for any of those.
Why, you don't but like it, dating?
It's just they had no chemistry, and there was really no, because halfway through the movie, he just dumps her for no reason, and then it's like, well, why did we even bother bringing this into here if we're not even going to bother
with
it?
Well, it was to show that he's just extremely like goal-oriented.
But then you're,
like, he wants
but then
to be
you're
the
killing
world...
20 minutes of the movie.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but it's just like he was so focused on being the world's greatest drummer.
I think you could have
he had no time for Pootang.
I think you could have used his father in that role if you had to, and just keep it simple between him and the instructor.
Yeah.
I think you could, but that's just me.
Well, so, I hope I never meet a teacher like J.K. Simmons' character.
Well, you shouldn't have to.
Don't
you're
be
right,
a
I'm out of school.
Yeah.
So before we get to the Follows, though, I wanted to mention a movie that I saw that me and Sean have seen, so you haven't seen.
Oh, did I?
Why would you do this to me?
So it's basically gone full circle here.
Oh, I can't wait.
Foxcatcher. I finally saw it.
Oh, you finally saw Foxcatcher.
Yeah, I rented it.
And you knew nothing about it, right?
No, I really didn't know anything about it.
Are there foxes?
And no, I knew it wasn't about foxes, and I've seen the trailer. The first time I saw the trailer for that movie was in a movie theater, and I was like, I have no idea what the hell that's about besides wrestling. Like, that's all I got from it. I really like that movie. And I'm not
a big
fan of slow kind of moving movies.
Uh-huh.
But it is definitely creepy as hell. And I think that's Steve Carell's best performance I've ever seen.
It seems like you're saying exactly what I said months ago.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was just nodding my head.
No, I know.
You that day because I had no idea what that movie was really about. But
so what did you think of the end, considering you didn't know anything about it?
Well, I had a feeling I knew someone was going to unfortunately die.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling I knew who it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was, I don't know how accurate it is to what really happened, because it is a true story, obviously. And my parents actually said they heard it on the radio on the way home from somewhere back in the late 80s, wherever it happened. So they remember when it happened. It's pretty interesting. But he just, without thought, just pulls up with the guy next to him in the car, rolls on a window, and is like, boom!
It's very very
and just drives off.
Yeah, it's very alarming. You know,
but you know he's mentally disturbed. I mean, this guy is not there. He's not on the same level that any of us are.
Mm-hmm.
His whole life has been ruined because he's been isolated from people because he's so rich.
Mm-hmm.
His mom is very weird too, very protective. And his mom, like he says in the movie, like bought his friends when he was younger.
Yeah.
So like he didn't know it at the time as a kid, but the kids were coming over, and then when they were leaving, the mom was giving them cash.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's nice. But all he wanted was attention from his mother, and this is why he started this prestigious wrestling program for the Olympics and all that. And then when my favorite scene in the whole movie, or one of them, I should say, is definitely when his mom gets wheeled into the wrestling room.
And she's watching him.
And she's watching, and he, like, I don't know, he notices her coming in to watch. So then he pretends to take over the entire practice. Mm-hmm. And he's like, gets that one wrestler up, and he's like, I'm just going to practice some basic moves on with you, and like, just some basic wrestling moves. And you can tell, and his mother probably can tell, he has no idea what the hell he's really doing. Well,
she also, she doesn't approve of
it. No, she doesn't approve. She thinks wrestling is an extremely low sport. She's very
aristocratic. Because it's so low to the ground.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but
she's like
too.
She's into horses and stuff like that.
Oh, that's higher because you're sitting up.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
And as soon as she leaves, you know, he just stops. Pair off, go into groups, and, you know, he did it for show. I thought when she passed away, his mother, that he was going to go in the barn and actually kill all the horses. I really thought that was going to happen, especially because he got a 50 cal machine gun.
Yeah.
And it was so random. He buys like random. Well, he has so much money.
Apparently, that's true. He would buy random shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He bought, you know, he wanted basically a tank, you know. But, and at the end, you know, he kills that guy. Do you think he would have killed,
the brother?
Yeah, if he was there still. I mean, he's lucky. He obviously got fired or whatever, but he left at the right time, if you think about it.
No, I don't think so, because they kind of changed it a little bit from how it was in real life.
Yeah.
And not to get into it, but,
Kurt Angle knew him.
He was very briefly there.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was in the movie?
No.
No, but Kurt Angle knew everybody.
He very briefly, actually, I think I heard that he briefly trained at Foxcatcher.
I think he did.
Very briefly.
Mm-hmm. But he definitely knew the brothers because he wrestled with them, yeah.
Yeah. But no, there's something weird going on. And I don't want to say there was any sort of homosexual
I think there was some tension there, but
there was something.
I think
there.
The wrestler wasn't into him, obviously.
Obviously, but I mean, come on, the Frosted.
He wasn't even there.
Tips.
He's not even there all the way either. He's weird too. Like the
he's
not there. And I think he's just super depressed.
Yeah, I guess. Why. But no, you're right. We could go on more about it, but but you know, it's definitely something to check out, especially if you know you're interested in. Real life stories that are just so bizarre.
Crime drama, yeah, kind of.
I wouldn't.
It's weird. Drama. It's a crime drama, but the crime doesn't happen until
last 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then you know he eventually goes to prison, obviously.
So, recommend?
Totally recommend. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah. How many foxes would you give it?
I don't know, 4.5.
I gave it Fox News out of 10.
Yeah, Fox News.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
So let's move on.
Yeah, so Kyle, me and you saw this cool indie horror film the other week called It Follows.
Yep.
Now, for people who don't know, because I don't think this has a wide release.
Yeah, it's limited, I think.
Yeah, but it's a movie about this girl who has sex with this guy who's cursed.
Cursed, yeah.
And whoever has sex with, whoever gets this curse is followed by a demon, and the demon can take the form of anyone. So basically,
a lot of it doesn't make sense, but
Yeah, and
there's a lot of plot holes.
So yeah,
well, it's like on the Red Letter Media thing. It's like, well, what if the person, what if the it actually finally gets to the person and kills them?
No,
then what happens to the curse?
Oh no, then it goes down the line.
Yeah, it keeps going down because it's supposed to be passed on. See, this is what this whole thing confuses me because the guy passes it on to the girl, hoping that
he gets rid of it.
It gets rid of it, but he still sees the demon.
He sees it, but it doesn't attack him. Because remember,
how does he know? Because he keeps running away anyway.
Yeah, well, spoilers, but when she has sex with a guy and passes it on to him halfway through the
neighbor,
movie, halfway through the movie, she sees the demon
knocking on his door.
She sees the demon knock on his door and kill him, but it doesn't attack her.
Which is weird, because wouldn't it go after her next?
Yeah, that was
how
a little
would it
weird.
Go after her next?
Because
but
she already gave it off.
But it comes back.
It goes back
the next person again.
That's stupid.
Exactly. It's like, that's why it doesn't make any. And then they said in the movie, the guy that's trying to explain the demon to her, he's like, it comes as someone you know, but it doesn't all the time.
Yeah,
it comes
could be
as
a complete
random
stranger.
Ass person.
Like, put yourself in the situation. Like, you're in a crowd, or you're sitting in a classroom or something. You know, where there's a lot of people, and out of the corner of your eye, you just see a stranger, or it could be someone who's familiar to you, walking just. Making a beeline towards you, like that's the concept.
And no one
that
else notices.
Yeah,
it,
no one.
You know?
They're invisible to everyone else, but they're still an entity at the same time. Like her friends try fighting it, and to them, it's just a completely visible nothing. But that's solid.
You can throw like a towel on it.
Yeah,
and it's a ghost.
Yeah, it's a ghost. Yeah, but that only she can see in the form of a person that's mute and it just walks at a steady pace towards her. And that's the thing that I kind of felt weird, that the guy who explains the guy who she has sex with in the beginning, who explains the whole concept of the demon, yeah, who explains the whole concept of the demon to her, says the thing is always walking, but then there's times where it stands there. And it's like, if you can stand there, just stand in her room and wait for her to come home.
So how often does this it keep following them?
That's all the time. Like
it's all the time?
It's pretty constant, but it still
doesn't make sense. He says you can like drive hours away, but it'll still walk to you. So you could buy, like, if you drove to the end of the state, you could buy yourself time, but it's still walking towards you.
Yeah.
And
so just keep getting on a plane.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
you can lock up your doors, but somehow it still gets in.
Yeah, there's the part when she gets into the car accident, and then she wakes up in the hospital. It's like, so did the demon wait for her to get into an ambulance?
Yeah, that demon had the perfect time to get to her, but didn't.
Now, it sounds like we're bashing this a little too much. I liked it. I'd give it like... I'd give it like a 7.5, 8 out of 10. Like, it was a good horror movie, and I commend it tremendously for not having jump scares.
It does, but not many.
But not... But, like, you know, movies like Annabelle and The Insidious.
It's not a cat jumping out of you.
Yeah, no. And
it's more tension building.
Yeah, it's a lot of tension
music,
building.
You know when it's coming, too, because the music turns, and that's when you know that you're going to eventually see this thing.
Well, there were some parts where you see it walking out of, like, the shot will be on her, and you can see it behind them walking into frame. There's no music.
Yeah.
But you see it coming.
It's
like at the very end.
It's like...
Yeah, no, it's a very creepy and unsettling movie, and it makes me feel like, man, what the hell would I do in that? I would just
wear a condom,
go to Alaska.
Yeah. That's
what it is.
Okay, so this is what we concluded, that it's a premarital STD movie.
Yeah, that's basically.
I think, you know, it's more like STD because you had sex with somebody.
But does wearing a condom have a difference?
That would be probably the cure of not passing it on.
I'm pretty sure
everyone wants to pass it on. Everyone's an asshole. They all want to pass it on.
Yeah.
And it's like, kill somebody else. Like, that's really nice.
Oh,
that's how
people would do it, though.
That isn't like an STD. Like, yeah, when you have sex with someone with an STD, you pass it on, but you don't lose it.
No.
Like, you lose the demon in this.
I think that's also the same point, is like, they know they don't technically lose it, but if that person dies, they get it again anyway. So it's like...
They're kind of hoping that the other person sort of evades or gets rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, it's like...
There's no cure. Right, so
yeah, like,
except for passing it on.
Couldn't they just spray penicillin on this thing?
They would have to find the person that began it all.
Like, it seems like it seems like they kill it at the end of the movie, but then there's like a shot at the end with the girl. It's like another one of those ambiguous shots, like, oh, maybe this or maybe this happened, like in Birdman, where she's walking towards the camera and you see someone walking behind her, but you don't know if it's the thing, but it probably is.
I definitely
think it is.
Because, yeah, it's him and her that both have it, but it's definitely going to go after him because he's the one that
has a new boyfriend. She has sex with like 15 people in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
she really is nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that climactic battle thing that they're going to do in the pool.
Yeah, that was really weird.
It didn't make any sense. Like, they went to this... They live in Detroit. Mm-hmm. It takes place in Detroit. And they go to this abandoned school, which I did think is cool because Detroit does have a lot of abandoned schools. Like, I've seen a whole series on that before. But it has power, so it's kind of weird. And it's thunder and lightning out to give the atmosphere of scariness and all that.
And good music, too.
Yeah, the music was pretty... Well, not at first. At first, I didn't like it.
It takes a while to get warm. The music sounds... It sounds like old...
SNES games.
SNES-like.
Yeah.
But it's very indicative of old, like, Nightmare on Elm Street.
So, I don't exactly get why they threw everything in the pool. I thought it was to turn electricity on to electrocute it, I guess.
Yeah, like, their plan was to... They were in the gymnasium pool in this abandoned school... waiting for hours, it seemed like, for the thing to finally walk up to them, right?
Yeah.
And then it does, and the main character is in the pool waiting to lure it in with her friends around her, like, just waiting to throw, like, toasters and, like, electrical equipment in TV, there, you know, to shock them.
How'd that go?
It didn't work.
Dude, no,
but not at all.
Who knew? We couldn't electrocute ghosts.
They don't say in the movie that's what their plan was. I guess you're supposed to assume that they're throwing electronics
into the
water and they're plugging it in. But I thought it was so cool because we watched it with our friend Cameron, that I thought it was going to get in the water right when they're about to turn the power on, because this thunderstorm's going on, the power's going to go out.
Mm.
And I thought that would have been pretty cool and intense, because the power goes out, now you don't know where this thing is in the water, and that would be creepy as hell. That would be super creepy, but it doesn't go in the pool at all. It either doesn't swim, well, I guess it does, but it sees what the plan is. It's not dumb. I don't know. It just...
Yeah, there's
parts
some...
of that movie
there's
just
some questionable...
Like,
yeah, exactly. There's some questionable stuff in the movie, but overall, I really liked it. Like, it's good seeing a horror movie that's not, like, Insidious or Annabelle nowadays. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's good seeing. I mean, this is original, completely original, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I could be proven wrong, but I've never I don't think this is based off of anything. I think this is this director's own idea, which is awesome. Mm. And it's a scary idea, and it's scary to see the thing just walking. Like, there's the one scene where she's in the classroom.
Yeah, it doesn't run or anything.
Yes, it's so dread. And there's the one scene where she's like in the classroom. And it's at the beginning of the movie where she really doesn't believe what the guy told him. Actually, yeah. No, she has to. Because after she has sex with him in the car, he kind of ties her up just to make sure the thing follows her.
Well, he wants to prove to her when he does have sex with her, and then he kind of suffocates her to knock her out and then puts her in a wheelchair.
Probably chloroform.
Yeah, he knocks her out, and he's like, listen, I know you're not going to believe me, but this is what's happening. And then this demon starts walking up to them. And
so
this is a demon thing.
Is his goal ultimately to have her spread and then just keep getting it further and further
him? Yeah, further away from him and her, obviously.
There's the one scene where they're all talking, the main character, she has two sisters, and then there's the other guy, a guy friend who obviously is in love with the main character, who looks just like my cousin Christopher, which is really weird. It was freaking me out the whole movie.
He looks younger than her by, 3 or 4 years.
Now, let me ask you this. What if during this altercation... with the ghost, what if you actually got someone pregnant?
That's
you create
not explained.
A demon baby?
Then the demon walks after the baby.
Yeah.
Hey, sequel.
But there's the scene where they're all sitting in the grass, and the guy who had it first is explaining to the main character it latches on to whoever you have sex with, and it's just and he says to her, he's like, you're a girl, you can have sex with people easily. That's literally what he says, and so he's saying,
he's like, I figured you would have it easier because you can just pass it on. He's like, it took me a while because he's not this great looking guy or anything like that. You know, he waited to have a girlfriend or whatever. But it was entertaining. Definitely a lot of plot holes. It's an Opac on road. It's just potholes everywhere.
I think most horror movies will have plot holes.
Overall, I liked it though.
You should
see it on the video.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So it'll follow you.
So, anything miscellaneous?
I can give you one miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous?
And then we can. What do we have anything else left, or should we go right into the game?
I don't know. Anything else to talk
about. Miscellaneous then. Maybe some game, and then I have a few plugs.
Do you
have
any opinions on a Konami incident that's going on?
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Hideo Kojima left Konami, and some sources say he was fired. Some sources say he left on his own accord. I mean, I'm glad Metal Gear 5 is done, and apparently they're already hiring, from what I read, for Metal Gear 6, Metal Gear Solid 6. But
did you read the latest Game Informer?
Not yet. Oh, okay. I read a little bit of the Deus Ex thing.
Oh, okay.
But, apparently they're already hiring for the next Metal Gear Solid game, but will be under. It's obviously going to be a reboot because it's going to be under completely different people. But these games make money anyway. I'm glad Kojima's done with MGS5, so I could play that when it comes out. And unfortunately, there's rumors that Silent Hills is canceled, and I really hope it isn't.
Well, I don't know. I was saying about Game Informer and the good, bad, and ugly section.
Yeah,
and talk about a little 10-word paragraph that Hideo said that MGS5 is done, and any other Metal Gear game that's made after this is not a real Metal Gear game to him.
Wow.
He's like, I'm done. He's like, 5 is the last game I'll make.
I mean, I gotta believe him at some point, because after 2 he said that was the last one he was gonna make.
Well, he fucked up on that
then
one.
Then he got pressured to make 3, and then 4, and then 5.
Are you sure you're not talking about Ric Flair?
Four was needed, obviously, because you need to finish whatever the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And this 5 is important because it's the bridge between
the old
Metal
games,
Gear Solid and
Metal Gear.
Peace Walker and all that stuff. But I really don't think there needs to be a 6, to be honest. I know they're doing it because there's Metal Gear fans that love Metal Gear.
I'm excited to see someone's take on it, a new person's take on it, but the other spinoff, Metal Gear Rising,
That was just an action game. That was just making money off of Metal Gear, but...
I just hope Silent Hills isn't canceled.
I personally thought that the next Metal Gear games would be the reboots of the original ones, but I don't know if that's ever really going to happen. It'd be nice because they tell the story of why Big Boss, or of Solid Snake being introduced to Big Boss being his father and his enemy.
I don't know, man.
That's all.
It's all coming full circle now. This giant story that spanned 20 years.
I really hope Silent Hills isn't canceled, but.
Speaking of giant, here's a miscellaneous story for you.
Oh, God.
This story starts off, it's called Wife Divorces Husband Over His Giant Penis.
Jeez, okay. Man, nobody's satisfied nowadays.
How do you file that in law? Isn't it like, you know, there's a...
I don't know.
My friends.
Well, okay, so it says here, one marriage is ending after only a week after a woman claimed that her husband's giant penis was simply too much to bear.
Jeez.
The pair had not had sex prior to their marriage.
Really? Wow, that's uncommon.
Well, okay, listen, so I can't pronounce her name, but...
Okay, just call her X.
X is a mother of three from a previous marriage after she married her husband. These people are from Nigeria. So it says she's seeking she's seeking a divorce from her husband in Nigerian court. It says as part of the tradition before settling in her husband's home, the bride was invited to move into his parents' house. It was when they first had sex that she claimed the trauma began. She said, quote, when he came, we had sex, but the experience was a nightmare. Instead of enjoying the sex, it turned out to be something else because his penis was too big, she told the court. After their first unsuccessful romp, she took medication given to her by her mother. I told my mother, she said, quote, the experience, I told my mother about the experience, but she told me to endure it. And with time, I will be able to cope. She then gave me some drugs, and according to her, the couple had sex again, but it was too much to bear, and they concluded that no drug could help the sexual process in their marriage. The well-endowed husband did not deny the accusation.
He of course told, not.
He's like, hell yeah.
He told the court he was willing to
show him
dissolve the union if his... what does this say? Oh, forget about that part. But yeah, so basically, she had to divorce him because his penis was too big.
I mean, do you think that's just a cover story and the thing's really following her, like in the movie?
I don't know. It's Nigeria.
Oh, that explains everything.
Yeah. All right.
That's an interesting story, though.
I think we're gonna have to bring back the Leonard Maltin game.
Good old Len Malt.
Let's move on to the Leonard Maltin game. Now, Kyle, I explained this earlier, how this goes. Unfortunately, neither of you guys won that one, so I guess we'll just... Jason's the returning champion, so he'll be able to pick the first category.
I forgot to get my wrestling belt.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one's going to see it.
Yeah, it's
just okay. Just say that you're holding it.
I'm holding up my 2003 Brock Lesnar championship belt.
There you go.
Well, it's actually around my pants. It's holding my pants off like a belt should do.
Mm-hmm. So, Jason, you're going to pick the first category here.
Okay.
Would you like from the following? We have... It follows. Puff Puff Pass, which are Emily Blunt films Leonard gave 2 stars or less. Or you can have The Babadookie, which are horror movies Leonard gave 2 stars or less. Or you can have... how about Hook a Brother Up? That's movies where a black person fishes.
I'll go with The Babadookie.
The Babadookie.
Alex.
All right. Would you like a movie from 2003 or 2008?
8.
2008. All right. Leonard Maltin gave this movie. Oh, where the hell is it? Hold on.
Someone's deflating.
Oh, God. I forgot to put it in here. Okay. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 1.5 stars from 2008.
Great.
He says about this movie. Let's see. Ooh, he says the subplot is weaker than ever. He says, the unrated version runs 96 minutes.
It's still not that long.
And he lists 10 names. How many names do you think you need to get it in?
4.
4?
I only know of one movie from 2000.
Now, you know this is from the bottom up, right?
Yeah, but okay. What I'm saying is I only know one horror movie that did really bad in 2008, so I'm just going to go for it. So, okay, I'll do 5.
Okay, 5. Kyle, you can either go lower than 5, or you'll have to tell Jason to name that movie.
Lower would be like
four or less.
Anything lower than five.
Okay, so I guess. Oh, I can say.
You don't have to. You can tell him.
I can say the name.
You can tell him. No, no. You can ask him to name the movie, and if he's wrong, you get the point. However,
I mean, he seems confident, so I'll ask him.
Okay, so you name that movie?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Jason, do you want your five names?
Sure.
They are. Do you want the clues again before I go over the names?
2008, 1.5 stars, mm-hmm. runs 96 minutes, director's cut. Yeah, you can tell me the names.
Okay. Greg Bierk, Megan Good, Mike Butters.
Okay.
Carlo Rota. And Julie Benz.
It is One Missed Call.
That's incorrect.
Fuck.
This is actually, I'll give you the main character, the star of the movie, Tobin Bell.
I don't remember who that is.
It's a Saul guy.
Oh, so, yeah. Wow.
So this is Saul 5.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Saul movies. I forgot when they ended. That's.
So Kyle's got a point.
Yeah. Well, I really did a hard job there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, that means you get to pick the category again.
All righty.
Kyle got the point. Would you like? Let's see. We have Mr. Anderson, which are the films of either Wes Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, or Paul W.S. Anderson.
Jesus Christ.
Would you like Frozen, which are Harrison Ford movies between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi?
Jeez.
Or would you like Box of Chocolates? That's any movie ever made. It could be anything at all.
Because life is like
you never know what you're going to get.
I'm going to do that one, Alex.
You want to do that one?
Yeah.
All right. This movie is from Where is it?
You know, I think next time we play this, I'm going to be the host.
No, no, no. I had it preloaded in and then it just
No, I don't mean that. Itself. I mean, I just want to hear what you would say.
Oh, okay. This movie's from 1995. Leonard gave it 2.5 stars. He says about this movie, it's a fantasy adventure aimed squarely at the huge audience that it's based off of. And he says it's not bad for what it is. And it was followed by a direct-to-video sequel. And he lists...
Well, did he give... How many stars did he give it?
2.5. Okay. And he lists 11 names. How many names do you think you can get it in?
10.
Kyle, you can either go lower. Now, 10 names is a lot, so, you know...
I'll say 8.
8 names. Jason.
Still 10.
No, no, you have to either go lower or...
Oh, 7.
Or have him name it.
Name it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh. All right. Would you like the clues again?
Yeah, please.
All right, it's from 95. 2.5 stars. It's a fantasy adventure movie aimed squarely at the audience that it's based off of. Or it's... Yeah, that's the series that it's based off of. It says it's not...
based off a series.
It's not bad for what it is. And it's had a direct-to-video sequel.
Hmm. There's a few I got in my head, but...
And how many names do you get?
8.
8?
Yeah.
All right.
But I have to name them.
I'm going
to
give you the names.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Nicholas Bell, Gabrielle Fitzpatrick, Paul Freeman, Jason Narvi, Paul Schreier, David Yost.
Oh, that's the Blue Ranger.
Amy Jo Johnson... And Jason David Frank.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know these actors.
Can I tell you?
The only movie that popped in my head was Indian in a Cupboard.
Oh, can I tell you?
You have a guess?
That's what it was.
That's incorrect.
It is Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
No.
Or it's the Power Rangers movie.
It's the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was a sequel. All right.
No, it's the original
the
Power Rangers
The sequel was the
movie.
One I wanted to direct to.
Yeah. So,
well, because you said bigger, so I was thinking like...
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, the sequel did go to DVD.
Or VHS.
Or whatever.
So, Jason, you have a point.
Tied.
You're tied up. This is the tiebreaker.
See, I don't know anyone actor's names, so this is going to be god-awful for me.
This is a tiebreaker. Now, normally when there's a tiebreaker, we do not pick a category. We go straight to the Asparagus P category.
Okay.
which is I read you the entire review of the movie, and you're going to know exactly what it is once I finish the review, and then we're going to start bidding at zero. Okay. So you have to go negative or zero in the case of starting off. So here we go. This movie is from 1994. Leonard Maltin gives it 3.5 stars. He says, audacious, outrageous look at honor among lowlives, told in somewhat radical style overlapping a handful of separate stories. The two leads are magnetic as a pair of hitmen who are philosophically debates on a regular basis. Willis is compelling as a crooked boxer whose plan to take it on the lam hits a few detours. In fact, there are no slackers in the cast. This violent, pumped up movie isn't for every taste. Certainly not the squeamish, but it's got more vitality than most any other film of 1994. Tarantino is featured on screen as Jimmy of Toluca Lake. Roger Avery gets co-story credit with Tarantino. Dan DeVito was one of the executive producers.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Holy, no wonder he's fucked up.
And there's 12 names. So how many names do you think you get it in?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Jason?
Yeah, me too.
Well, no. You have to go lower. So you have to
go into negative
one. Now, that means you have to name the top person in the cast.
That's where it's going to be tricky.
Yeah. Kyle, you either have to go lower, meaning negative two or more, or you have to tell Jason to name that movie.
Name that movie.
Name them. Okay, Jason.
Name the movie plus the top billed guy.
Mm-hmm.
Pulp Fiction. Top billed guy would be Bruce Willis.
That's incorrect.
Fuck. Is it John Travolta?
It is John Travolta.
I didn't think it would be him because that was his comeback. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he wouldn't do that.
I know.
God,
I know.
God damn it.
Kyle's our winner.
Ding, ding. I don't know anything.
What did you?
I mean,
you,
as soon as you said 1994 and violent, I was like, I know exactly.
You also said Tarantino.
No, I mean before he said that, yeah. Because I knew Pulp Fiction came out. 1994 was a good year for movies.
Leonard had a lot of words in that review that I've never even seen before.
Kyle, how does it feel to be a winner for once?
You know, it's just amazing. I'm crying. I want to thank my mom and my dad.
The Academy.
I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank Sean for being great at his moderating.
I didn't do anything.
You were never here.
Your questions were just excellent.
Why'd you bring
now
him?
Now you got to play the music.
He likes chili.
All right. So that was awesome, though.
All right.
It's a fun game. It's a little challenging for me because I'm not very good at actors and actresses.
I wish I could play.
You know?
Why can't you?
I can, but someone else needs to do the prep work.
What's the black goo?
Let's do a video game version for him.
Hell
oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Who is Mario?
Is that even possible? Like, how do you list voice actors?
I would say the way you do it is you still list...
Well, you just describe a character.
And who's reviewing it?
We just pick Metacritic. I don't know. Something.
Well, that's a collection of reviews.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to do a video game one. You can mention the year it came out, the ratings that it generally got, maybe, and some background story of what the game is.
It starred an Italian plumber.
Okay. Clearly Solid Snake.
Do you even know who Solid Snake is?
Yeah. From Metal Gear Solid, right?
Yeah. It
doesn't
make
any
sense.
You
just went from my friend to my best friend.
Yeah. There you go.
I know something.
See, I would add like the Belmonts from Castlevania and stuff.
No. No, you lost me there.
I would add Kyle Crane from Dying Light.
Yeah. What trophies are named after people's names?
Who was the character of Grand Theft Auto 4?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of easy. You might know that.
Rufus?
Doofus.
Oh, Doofus.
It was named after you.
Oh.
Sean.
What a burn.
Sean, we've had a very doozy of a show here today, mm-hmm. as I said, because we had a lot of catching up to do. I probably forgot something. I always do. But,
Yes, you did.
What did I forget?
In terms of movies, probably. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Next on my list to see is, I did see Furious 7, like I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Which is very good. It was just dumb action, dumb fun, good tribute to Paul Walker. It's a good movie to see. Like, it's pretty much a superhero movie if you think about it.
Yeah.
Just action.
No.
Oh, did you guys see the newest Ant-Man trailer? By the way.
Yes.
No, actually, I didn't.
I'll show you that in a minute.
I saw that.
It's. I mean, it's another 2014 trailer, so I'm pretty... But this one is not a teaser, it's a trailer, so you get some, you know, how you think the story's going to be, but I'm really looking forward to
it. I like the Thomas Tank Engine.
Yeah, the Thomas Tank Engine
part. That's so funny.
The main bad guy is Corey Stoll from House of Cards fame, Paul Russo.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Russo. No, not Paul
Russo.
Wait, what? Peter Russo.
Yeah, I know the Russo part. House of Cards?
No, yeah, that guy's a great actor. I'll show you when we're done in a minute, but I'm Jason Green. You can follow me on Twitter at jgreen89, J-A-Y, Green 89, little at thing in the beginning. My phone number is, no, I'm kidding, 867-5309. Yeah, we got the Blah Blah page on YouTube. Just search Blah Blah Productions.
Facebook.
On Facebook, too. Kyle, you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Downster. It's so clever. It's THEDONSTERR.
Could you do that slower? I didn't get all that. Okay.
Like the down stir
with two R's.
With two R's at the end because someone already had it somehow.
Some bitch.
Let's not put a number on there. Let's add an R.
Yes. But that's basically it. I don't really have anything else. I work for Oral History Project. If you go to World War II stories,
maybe you'll meet Steven.
Hey, no, hey, you never know. Someone listening might be a history major somewhere and need some information. You know,
when you said you were good at oral history, reminded me of that WWE episode where McMahon was like giving Stacy Keibler an interview. He's like, "Are you good at oral?" He says something oral. And he's like, "You good at dictation?" And then she starts dancing, and he's like, "Whoa!"
So, are you familiar? Like, how much you know about the Nazi regime?
How much do I know?
You think
about
you know more about it than Steven Spielberg does?
Oh, I don't know. Doubt it. But
okay,
why?
I might have a short film that I need you to.
Oh well, I'll be
accurately check.
Okay.
Wait, what?
With a bunch of Nazis in there.
Is it going to be Tits and Blood 3?
Well, I mean, I know that my academic career is getting better.
How accurate is this?
Because I had an archivist come up to me the other day with a picture of a few soldiers in uniform.
Do you know these people?
And she's like, "Do you know, are these like American or British or Canadian or French or whatever, German?" No, obviously not German. German's very distinctive.
Did you say they were
and
the Avengers?
I said they're British, and then I found out I got it right. I was like, yeah. Oh.
Well, it was a test. It was a secret shopper.
It was
a test
to see if I really knew anything. No, but I do work for an oral history project. Mm-hmm. So it's if you are interested or if you're a student and needs help, it's cool to get like personal stories instead of getting stuff through like a textbook. So yeah,
that's pretty sweet. Oh, Sean, you want to promote your movie?
Yes,
it's gonna be on YouTube soon.
Yes. And Tits and Blood 3.
Give a little context of the first two.
Oh god,
that can be like another podcast.
Yeah, we might
want
to stop.
I don't mean like story, just mention how they're not movies like this one is.
So do I have to?
Yes.
Okay, so Tits and Blood 3 is coming out on the 24th. It's the third one. The first two were fake trailers. They're fake exploitation movies. This third one is more of a short film.
Which are on YouTube, by the way.
On YouTube.
You can find them, Tits and Blood. Just Tits and Blood.
Yeah, if you just look it up, you'll
find then
it.
The second one is called Tits and Blood, The Final Chapter, which obviously it isn't, but it's just a funny little joke.
Yeah. And then the third one is plopping down next week. And yeah, no, it's a trilogy. So
yeah, and
check it out.
It's funny if you're into like, you know, grindhouse movies.
Yeah,
and
it's a little out there. It's a little violent, a little vulgar.
And it's balls to the wall.
It's
it
makes fun of itself.
I mean, it's an extremely self-aware parody of grindhouse films.
I wouldn't show your parents.
No. Show your friends.
You're
people
under
you're
the age of 17.
Show someone you'd have a beer with.
My parents, or especially my mom, keeps asking, "Am I going to see this movie?" And I just have to. No.
I mean, my mom saw Tits and Blood 1 and 2, and she loved it. But
she'll love 3.
3 is a little really pushes the envelope because,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, 1 and 2, like Sean said, are just fake fun trailers, like 6 minutes, 5-6 minutes each. Tits and Blood 3. Is 35 minutes. It is it's a movie, like
almost,
and it's amazing. I'm in it. I mean, that's what makes it amazing. You see if you can spot me by my sexy voice. Sean is not in it, but his
I'm not in it.
But you know, it has him.
Kyle's not in it.
It has him. Yeah. It has him written all over it.
Does it?
Well, I mean, like you're editing and shot it. Story.
Sean Smith.
Yeah,
and it has all of our friends from college.
Almost everyone in there.
And it'll be on you. The first two are on YouTube, Tits and Blood, and Tits and Blood, The Final Chapter. They're both on YouTube now, so I suggest watching those before watching the third one, only because there are some references.
There's a lot of references, yes.
Yes. And then the third one will be dropped on...
You're going to be asking why Elizabeth Olsen's popping up.
When did you say the third one was dropping again?
24th.
Which is Thursday, right?
Friday.
Oh, it's Friday? Okay.
Yes.
It'll be on the 24th.
You get that next week, and then the
carpet?
Avengers.
Red
What's
carpet?
That? Yeah. Red carpet?
Yeah.
Red carpet?
If I can find one.
Is that blood carpet with tits?
Oh, that's what I should do. I should just get like a... What are those things called that you just put on the floor to...
Air mat?
No.
Dead hooker.
No.
A dead hooker.
Like something that you put down to make sure it's nothing that gets dirty.
A sheet?
It's like a sheet, and just put blood on it. And
yeah, it or a tarp.
Tarp, there you go, tarp, yeah.
Yeah.
Put some fake blood on there.
But yeah, no, it's going to be great. I mean, I haven't seen the whole product. I've been...
you know, I don't allow you to.
Yeah, he doesn't allow me to, even though I try to sneak
Bad
into his
monkey.
House.
Hack into his computer.
But I've seen enough to know that it's going to be great.
North Korea. We're going to leak it on.
North. Oh, my God.
Damn you, North Koreans.
If North Korea saw this, there would be a war.
The country would implode.
There would be a war. Immediately. Yeah. Or maybe there would be peace.
Yeah, maybe they'll finally sign a treaty with the United States and the Korean War will
be
finally
end. Like, oh, hello, Mr. President. We saw tits and blood.
Well, no, they would. No, they would probably. Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but they'd probably think that our president's missing right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
you'll have to watch the movie to know what he means. All right, ladies and gentlemen, go see Tits and Blood this Friday,
and it's free.
Yeah, it's free. It's going to be on YouTube.
So as long as you have internet.
Yeah, this Friday, April. I almost said February.
This
April
February.
24th.
We're going back in time, people.
April 24th. Watch Tits and Blood 1 and 2 first. Enjoy the third one. So you try. I'm in it. You can spot me by my voice.
You're in the second one, too.
I'm in the second one, too. I'm the villain. I'm the eye patch guy. There, I gave
it
away.
Well, now you gave it away.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I felt like it. Fuck. Thank you for listening to Blah Blah Podcast, episode 14, and may the Force be with you.
Peace.
Star Wars!
Phantom Menace, we don't need you anymore! We've got J.J. Abrams!